Volcanic ash cancels flights over Alaska. There's a new boss at Hawker Beechcraft. And Canada says Sikorsky's bulletin doesn't go far enough. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, March 24th, 2009. You learn about it in ground school, but whoever actually expects to encounter volcanic ash? Welcome to life in the 49th state. After months of tremors and steam, Alaska's Mount Redoubt began a series of eruptions in the wee hours of Monday morning, spewing ash as high as 60,000 feet. The volcano lies about 100 miles north of Anchorage. So far, winds have spared the city a major ash fall. But commercial flights are being canceled, and the U.S. Air Force reports it's moved 60 planes to Elmendorf Air Force Base, south of Anchorage. Geologist Chris Way Thomas told the Associated Press the activity appears likely to follow the same pattern as a series of eruptions that happened 20 years ago. Those continued for about 4 months. Ash from the initial December 1989 eruption caused a four-engine flameout on a KLM Boeing 747. The crew was able to restart the engines and make an emergency landing in Anchorage, but the plane needed extensive repair. Hawker Beechcraft Corporation announced yesterday its new chairman and chief executive officer will be W.W. Boyster, Jr. HBC board chairman Sanjeev Mehra commented, quote, "Bill is the right person at exactly the right time. His proven ability to drive customer satisfaction and value has never been more important than in this challenging economic environment," unquote. Boyster is the former president of NetJets, Gulfstream Aerospace Corporation, and British Aerospace Corporate Jets, a forerunner to Hawker, and the former chairman and CEO of Butler Aviation. Most recently, he was president of Intrepid Aviation, a privately held commercial aircraft lessor, and senior advisor for aerospace at the Carlyle Group. Back in the day, Boyster was a fighter pilot in the U.S. Air Force and graduated from both Air Force and Navy fighter weapons schools. He was honorably discharged as a major, has a commercial instrument rating, and still flies. He's logged more than 500 hours in the past 2 years. Boyster calls his new job an outstanding opportunity. Quote, "Hawker Beechcraft has the broadest product lineup in the industry, is a leader in advanced technology with its composite aircraft, and is well-positioned to succeed coming out of this downturn," unquote. Boyster succeeds Jim Schuster, who announced his retirement in November. Acting NTSB Chairman Mark Rosanker told reporters yesterday morning that the pilot of a Pilatus PC-12 that came down in a cemetery Sunday adjacent to Burt Mooney Airport near Butte, Montana, gave no indication of any trouble prior to the crash. Witness accounts suggest the pilot may have been attempting a go-around. Weather does not appear to have been a factor. The FAA and NTSB have also revised the casualty count to one pilot and 13 passengers. The Transportation Safety Board of Canada says the crash of a Sikorsky S-92 helicopter March 12th off Newfoundland warrants grounding all S-92s worldwide until an emergency airworthiness directive has been complied with. There was only one survivor among the 18 souls on board. TSB investigators determined that a broken gearbox component led to that crash. An alert issued by Sikorsky on January 28th directed main gearbox filter bowl assembly mounting titanium studs to be replaced with steel studs within 1,250 flight hours or within a year of the alert's issue date. CNN reports the TSB said Friday that the FAA would be issuing an emergency AD, grounding all Sikorsky S-92s globally until the hardware change is accomplished. Up next on ANN, was that a C-17 or black helicopters? Europe warns Oberstar not to close the skies. And friends say Sparky Imeson was after the hair of the dog. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 24th. I'm Paul Platt. Here's the stuff conspiracy theories are made of. A little after 2 p.m. Eastern Time yesterday, ANN received reports a U.S. Air Force C-17 Globemaster III transport had gone down near Olney, Texas. CNN reported the crash had been called in by a number of area residents who claimed they saw the plane flying low before impact. The network said the accident was confirmed by the Air Force and searchers had been dispatched. Minutes later, the Air Force retracted the confirmation, called back the searchers, and said there never was a crash. The C-17 was said to have safely returned to its base at Altus Air Force Base in the Oklahoma Panhandle, about 100 miles north of the reported accident site. Stay in touch with any new details at aero-news.net. The U.S. House has passed a version of FAA reauthorization, which pulls the U.S. back from liberalized rules for marketing alliances with foreign carriers. Dow Jones reports that John Bruton, the EU's ambassador to Washington, has written to U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, warning that the bill would dangerously impair efforts to deregulate transatlantic airline service. Specifically, House Transportation Chair James Oberstar, a Minnesota Democrat, added language to the FAA bill which would sunset existing antitrust immunity already granted to some U.S. airlines, task the Government Accountability Office with evaluating the effects of such waivers on the marketplace, and make the DOT come up with formal requirements for airlines seeking to renew or create alliances, both domestic and international. DOT is currently reviewing antitrust immunity applications which would allow American Airlines and British Airways to enter the One World Alliance, and another which seeks to allow Continental to join United and Lufthansa in the Star Alliance. Of the threat of tightened rules for partnering with other carriers, Continental President Jeff Smisek told Dow Jones, quote, "I think Congressman Oberstar is off on a mission that is detrimental to the airline industry," unquote. The nation of Poland is apparently feeling a little like a pawn these days and is calling on the U.S. to honor its commitments to build a missile defense system for Eastern Europe. Last week, U.S. Representative Alan Tauscher was asked to serve as Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security under Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She's already on record as skeptical about the need for a U.S. role in missile defense for Europe. Polish Foreign Minister Radoslaw Sikorski told a gathering of world politicians in Brussels over the weekend his nation did its part and now faces targeting by Russian missiles in reprisal. Quote, "When we started discussing this business with the United States, the U.S. assured us they would persuade Russia. Poland has taken a political risk in signing up with the previous administration," unquote. In response to U.S. plans, Russia has threatened to deploy medium-range missiles in Kaliningrad between Poland and Lithuania. Friends of expert mountain flying pilot Sparky Imeson on Friday said the intended destination of his final flight was the site where he and another pilot crashed 2 years ago. They say he wanted to take photos for instructional presentations. Gary McDonald and Galen Hansenman, friends of Imeson, told the Jackson Hole News and Guide that Sparky wanted the photos for use in his seminars on mountain flying techniques. The wreckage of Imeson's 1962 Cessna 180F was located Thursday morning, about 2 miles southwest of the Canyon Ferry Airport near Townsend. In an odd twist to the story, online tracking information from FlightAware.com indicates that days before his fatal crash, Imeson made a flight to 24,000 feet. He seemed disoriented and was talked down by a controller at Salt Lake Center, suggesting a possible oxygen malfunction. Investigators so far have not suggested any connection between that incident and Imeson's fatal crash. Still ahead, J.P. Morgan Chase to spend conspicuously on biz jets. United Airlines settles a lawsuit over pornography in the cockpit. And X-Plane gives you a shot at your own Miracle on the Hudson. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, March 24th. I'm Paul Plack. Business aviation interest groups pushing back against this year's biz jet bashing craze in Washington appear to have attracted a big corporate ally. ABC News reports J.P. Morgan Chase is considering spending $138 million to buy new corporate jets and a hangar to house them and keep Washington's nose out of things by returning $25 billion in government bailout funds. The purchase would reportedly include almost $120 million for two Gulfstream 650 aircraft, scheduled to replace two older planes in the company's four-plane fleet when they arrive in 2013, and $18 million for renovation of a hangar at Westchester Airport outside New York City. The blueprint reportedly calls for an upscale hangar furnished with quarry stone and a rooftop garden. The specification for the use of reclaimed wood seems almost out of place in its political correctness by comparison. J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon is tired of the grandstanding from Washington. Quote, "When I hear the constant vilification of corporate America, I personally don't understand it. I would ask a lot of our friends in government to stop doing it because I think it's hurting our country." Unquote. NASA reports astronauts Joseph Acaba and Richard Arnold ended the third and final spacewalk of Discovery's mission STS-119 at 6:04 Eastern Time yesterday. The pair helped robotic arm operators relocate the Crew Equipment Translation aid cart from the Port 1 to the Starboard 1 truss segment and completed other tasks, some of them ahead of schedule, but the day was not without its frustrations. The Port 3 unpressurized cargo carrier attachment system could not be deployed and was temporarily tied off in place while engineers evaluate the problem. A similar payload attachment system on the starboard side will not be installed until the problem on the port side is better understood. Yesterday's spacewalk lasted 6 hours 27 minutes. A fourth spacewalk had originally been planned for mission STS-119, but the duration of the mission had to be shortened after the Shuttle Discovery's launch was delayed a month by problems with the launch vehicle's hydrogen fuel systems. A lawsuit by a former flight attendant has been settled out of court by United Airlines. UPI reports Captain Lisa Stout complained to her supervisors when she kept finding pornographic materials in the cockpits of airplanes on domestic airline flights. She claimed that between 2004 and 2005, it happened 20 times and resulted in retaliation rather than appropriate measures to identify the individuals responsible. The Seattle Times reported Stout claimed in August of 2005 she was unable to fly due to an unspecified condition related to the pornography discoveries. Attorney Victoria Vreeland has told the Times a settlement has been reached, which will keep the case out of U.S. District Court. She added a non-disclosure agreement prevented her from providing more details. And finally, have you found yourself wondering whether U.S. Airways Flight 1549 really was a miracle on the Hudson? Or whether perhaps your skills as a pilot would have been up to the challenge of ditching an A320? You'd be crazy to want to put yourself in that situation for real. But the unofficial Apple weblog reports, Laminar Research is ready to let you try your hand at the ditching from the safety of a computer simulation. Sully's Flight is a new app available for your iPhone or iPod Touch. It even includes the actual ATC audio, complete with Sully calmly announcing his intent to ditch in the Hudson River. Just take off from LaGuardia's Runway 4 in accurately replicated weather and fly a highway in the sky through a series of rectangular hoops. And, just like the real thing, there's a flock of birds you can't avoid, which, of course, causes you to lose your engines. But don't get too cocky if you nail the ditching. It won't really prove much. After all, an A320 and an iPhone are nothing alike. One presents a sort of virtual cockpit where your control inputs are turned into digital signals with no actual physical connection to any control surfaces. The other, of course, is an iPhone. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, speaking of the miracle on the Hudson, it's Lessons from Flight 1549, Part 5. Congressional testimony from representatives of the NTSB and the FAA. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.